Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
How can you go for such a high depth in God and the next thing, failure? How can you speak the word of God so powerful and it comes to pass and then the next time you speak, you miss it? Failure. Would you turn with me today to the book of Matthew, chapter 17? The book of Matthew, chapter 17. And then we're going to read Mark, chapter 9 after a while, too. So we're going to go there. But we're going to Matthew, chapter 17. Something has really happened wonderfully in Matthew, chapter 17. It's the transfiguration of Jesus going up to the mount. And he's got three disciples with him. But he left the other nine. We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with the nine. And we're going to answer a question. These three that came with him saw one of the most miraculous miracles anyone could ever see. Jesus being transfigured. Moses shows up. Elijah shows up, my Lord. All talking about ministry. What else would you talk about if you're from heaven? That's God's perfect will. Reaching people. Changing lives. One soul at a time. That's why we say that statement here at JDM and Covenant Church. You see, so they're talking and having a wonderful time. Talk about glorious, my Lord. I mean glorious. So as he's coming down the mountain, he tells them, y'all don't say nothing about this because there's other things that are going to happen which they didn't understand was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Well, what a triumph. But there was nine left down the hill. Nine, who had the same power as the three that went up the hill. You understand? Had the same power as the three that went up the hill, but they were down the hill or the mountain. And I want to start reading with Matthew chapter 17. Oh, let me start with verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Do you know some lunatics? Do you have some lunatics in your family or friends? And sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Why? It's a valid question. Because Jesus gave them authority and power over all devils. And they came back saying, even the devils. And he said, don't rejoice that the devils are in subject, but that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why couldn't they do that? That nine or that three. And I besought him, verse 16, to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, he took it further than the nine. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? They were confused. All of you have the power of God, but sometimes you can't do some things. All right, now go with me to Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at it from a different perspective. And I love Mark chapter 9. I love the four Gospels because each one looks at it from, you know, some people look at a glass half empty, others look at it half full, but it's the same story, but you get different things. In Mark chapter 9, verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning them, or questioning with them. Now, there's a different, there's a brighter picture there. Scribes are people that work in the church, Pharisees, scribes, you know. What are they questioning? Watch this. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, talking about Jesus, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. Now we found out that his son was a lunatic. You might have a son that's a lunatic. Maybe not full of the devil, just a complete idiot, you know. Sometimes those things happen. That's all I'm going to say about that, praise God. I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. I know a lot of people that got dumb spirits. There's a bunch of dummies in the world. Very intellectual people can be the dumbest people you ever meet in your life. And wheresoever he, verse 18, he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Notice this, he answered him and said, O faithless generation. Notice he's not just talking to the nine. He's talking to everybody standing there. O faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him into him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowing, foaming at the mouth. He asked his father. You notice he wasn't in a hurry. He just asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft the time did it cast him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. Now, the devil's still foaming at the mouth. Notice that. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy unbelief. Oh, did that sound funny? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Well, you just changed. How many times people say, I believe. And when the rubber meets the road, help my unbelief. How can you change so quick? Might be the congregation you're running around with. Might be the generation that you've been dealing with, faithless, perverse. We'll deal with that in just a minute. Oh, man. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. So Satan is foul, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. But now he took it another step further in this gospel and enter no more into him. That you have no right. This boy is off limits from you all the days of his life. And the spirit cried, rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Now the next verse says, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. A lot of people think if I don't eat, the devil's going to respect that. That ain't got anything to do with you not eating. No. Because if that's the case, you could cast every devil out on a diet. Oh, I'm starting to make you think now. Preaching should never supersede thought. It should make you think. Has nothing to do with you eat or not eat. He's talking about your spirit. You see, now watch this. When you see that, then he goes on and begins to do these things. Now, let's get into this. What a great victory. Three go up and see Jesus transfigured. The nine stay down doing the work of the Lord. They have power to cast out devils. Okay, now let's put it in today's vernacular. Jesus is up. Worshiping before the Father. We are down here doing the work of God. So you can say we're the nine. Okay? Do you understand that? I want perspective. What a great and wonderful time to see Jesus transfigured. And the next thing, failure. How can you go for such a high depth in God and the next thing, failure? How can you speak the word of God so powerful and it comes to pass and then the next time you speak, you miss it? Failure. I'm going to talk this morning about the question of failure. Ooh. Why? Why couldn't he? He gives us the answer. He just does not attack the nine. He looks at the whole generation. That includes the Pharisee, the Sadducee, the Zealot, and the scribe. He called them faithless. The Amplified says a lot of times that the word unbelief meant faithless or of little faith. The reason why, number one, you can write this down, unbelief. Number two, prayerlessness. Number three, worldliness. Number one, and these are the three, and I'm going to break all this down in just a minute. Unbelief or little faith. Number two, prayerlessness. And number three, worldliness. All those three things are in the church today. All those three things were in the nine that left, that stayed down there. All the three that went up was in them, and them too. I want to talk about the question of failure. Why do people fail when we shouldn't? Why? Because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And if God be for you, who could be against you? And no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And if you would say to that mountain, be removed, how come sometimes it's removed and other times it's not? Why do you got to pray more than once? I think it's a valid question. The question of failure. Write this down. The teachings of the Bible has ceased to have authority over men's conscience. How do I know that? Look at what's happening in the church today. I'm talking about the church as a whole. Now, some churches are flowing powerful. But the teachings of the Bible has ceased to have authority over man's conscience, over man's soul. Yeah, you tell people today, well, the Bible says, oh, we don't believe that. Or if you're in the church, you'll say, the Bible says, well, now don't take that too strong. You know, go easy with that. It's lost the authority over your conscience. When's the last time you heard a good sermon on sin? How come, and I love praise and worship, and I love all the songs, but there's something about the old rugged cross. When you start singing that old stuff, way back when, and how great thou art. You notice in those two hymns, you can't think of yourself. You thinking about God Almighty and his presence floods. Nothing wrong with today's words, do you understand what I'm saying? The reason why sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't, because we've lost the teaching, the authority that's been given to us in the Bible, even though God didn't take it away. Let me say it like I wrote it. The teachings of the Bible has ceased to have authority over men's conscience. You see, when faith is weak, it is unable to meet the demands that are made upon it. Write that down. That's unbelief, see? Or little faith. When faith is weak, it is unable to meet the demands that are made upon it. You see, why? Unbelief. Because you see where there's faith. If there's all faith, there's no unbelief. If there's a little faith, there's a lot of unbelief. Why could we not cast? See, that tells you right there that there was unbelief there. Because they were going by what they see instead of what they believe, what God had given them to do. In other words, we're going to try this thing. You don't try nothing. You do. The Bible said, be ye therefore doers of the word and not hearers. So the question of faith, and notice, usually something like that happens when you've had just a great blessing. That was the transfiguration. But he called the old faithless and perverse generation. The reason why some people are not healed, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be flat, blunt, blank. It's because this church believes in healing. But there's several churches around us don't. They say healing's not for today. They love God as much as we do. We are not against them. But you see, the reason why a lot of times the glass is not all full of faith, because we got a lot of generations that don't believe in what God said. Because you know how God is. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he don't. Wrong. Wrong. The only time God doesn't heal is when your unbelief prevents him to do so. But you got to understand that church across the street or the church on the side or a church 1,000 miles can affect a lot of things that are happening in the body of Christ. Because we're one body made up of many members. So if this hand hurts, even though this one doesn't, it knows it does. And sometimes it'll do this, which is stupid. Let me say that again. When faith is weak, it is unable to meet the demands that are made upon it. See, so what happened is their faith was weak. They thought this thing was a sure shot, but now they're talking with the scribes. Question, Jesus, why y'all, what are you doing here? Well, what are you doing in this crowd of unbelief? It was weakening them at the time. Ain't no telling what they were saying. I told you that stuff don't work. But here come Jesus, and everybody act holy. Oh, it's him. Let's run toward him. Everybody always usually shouts in church until they walk out the door. Or if you don't get what you get, well, I don't know what happened here. Automatically, you don't get what you were believing for. You don't get it. You go, oh, you see, now that stuff, that faith stuff don't work. That means that's been residing in you all that time. And you need to learn to get that out of there. You see, let me say it again. When faith is weak, it is unable to meet the demands that are made upon it. Now, what makes it weak? We don't understand. We don't have the understanding of the cross. The cross is no longer a dynamic in human life. It's become a piece of jewelry. It's not dynamic. Am I preaching too hard? I got to answer this question on failure. See, the cross and what it means is not dynamic. It sure looks good on a pin. They'll put diamonds on it. Oh, Jesus. That looks good. I'm not against that. I believe in that. Okay? You want to wear something? That's fine. But the cross is no longer a dynamic in human life. I mean, think about that for a minute. You know, we could never have prosperity without the cross. We could never have a resurrection without the cross. We could never have Jesus coming back to get us without the cross. But it's not a dynamic in people's lives. On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Funny that I could remember the words. How many other songs can you remember? Ah. In other words, we got to stay, keep this dynamic powerful. So that's why I don't play around with sin. That's why there's never been a scandal in this ministry. Some people tried to make it happen. Now, why? On a hill far away, all right. Stood an old rugged cross. Why? It's dynamic in me. So when I have to do some things, I got to make sure my faith is right so I can meet the demand of what that place, what that person's asking or what I need to do concerning what somebody wants me to do. You see, let me go back to number one. The teaching of the Bible has ceased to have authority over men's conscience. When faith is weak, it is unable to meet the demands that are made upon it. That's all because of unbelief, which produces a faithless, perverse generation. And the cross is no longer a dynamic in human life. Why do you talk about faith so much? It must be always ready for an emergency. There are emergencies going on in the world. I mean, how many times you're sitting at your house, all of a sudden you're, whoa, 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 something's up. You see an ambulance running down, going down the street. You go, oh, God. Why are they going? Emergency. Write this down. Your faith must always be ready for emergency. Why? We must never be caught unaware. Never. I never get on my plane without pleading the blood of Jesus, not in fear. I say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this aircraft that I'll come right back to the city of New Orleans and praise and worship you. I do it every time. Not that I'm afraid, but I don't want to be caught unaware. Notice this, if you've had a good argument, a good one with your wife or your husband, and you're coming to church, it's kind of hard to get in the flow. It's kind of hard to get in the flow. Why is that? Faithlessness. You're losing faith. You're becoming perverse. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Listen to me. That's why I tell Kathy, listen to me when I say something. And vice versa. You see what I say? Because you'd be surprised what can hinder you. In an emergency, liable to come on. Because an emergency happens when you least expect it. You're not driving down the road saying 5 miles, I'm going to get in an accident. Nobody says that. It's just all of a sudden you lose control. Something happens, somebody pull out, whatever. Your faith must always be ready for an emergency.
I'm so glad you joined me on the program today. I have a wonderful partner offer for you this month. It's titled The Question of Failure. Too many Christians aren't enjoying the success God wants for us. This message will show you why, and it's going to set you free. You will learn how to keep your faith prepared and ready to accomplish all that God has called you to do. Order your copy at jdm.org. God is the creator, and we should be creators too. In my book, Notes from a Vision Specialist, I reveal some of my vision impacting experiences so that you can make your vision real God's way. God wants you blessed and excited about your future. Order Notes from a Vision Specialist and decide to make the vision real.
Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation amount of $5 or more at jdm.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope today's message has encouraged you. God wants you to live a fulfilling life of purpose and success. You don't have to fail at anything God calls you to do. In Christ, you have the power to achieve that. Like I said, you have to keep your faith prepared and ready. How do you do that? Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's how you do that. Let me tell you something. I love questions. People, I want to thank all our viewers for sending in questions. I wish I could answer every one of them. I can't, but I thank you. I have one here I'd like to answer right now. This is a man. His name is Henry. He writes this. I'm determined to get out of debt. Thank God, Henry, you believe in the word. I have planted seed and received a return. Beside the planting process, how does one water the seed to ensure increase? Keep putting faith on it. Every day say, I am debt free. I owe no man anything but to love him. You calling those things would be not as though they were, Henry. You see what I'm saying? That's how you water that. You say, and you planted your seed, that's great. Now the seed's going to reproduce and it's going to come up. That's not the issue. But you keep putting fertilizer. Years and years ago, I planted 2 oak trees. They were about this big. Now, you can't put your arms around. They're huge. They just, but I saw it big. I said, I want them big. We have live oak trees here in South Louisiana, in New Orleans area. And it's huge. It's a blessing. But I kept fertilizing. I kept watching. You grow. I laid my hands on that crazy little tree. And both of them, I said, grow, baby. Grow, baby. And that's how you water that seed, by calling those things which be not as though they were. That's Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It will bless you. My product order today is Notes from a Vision Specialist. I've learned some key principles that God taught me over the years about vision. Now he wants me to share them with you so that you can accomplish your God-given dreams. I say it all the time. If it seems impossible, it's doable. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org for your copy today and you'll be blessed. Partners, thank you for all that you do. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important in reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. Nothing too big and nothing too small. 100% of what you give, that, goes into world evangelism. We debt-free. Henry, I'm debt-free. You will be debt-free too. Thank you, partners, for helping me today. I'll get somebody saved today if you just help me, and it'll come to pass. Till next week, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Think of that. That's the words of Jesus. See, Jesse the Planet's Ministries has one driving passion. One thing we ask in Jesus' name: to be empowered and equipped above and beyond to effectively share God's message of salvation with the entire world. We want everyone to have an opportunity to know the real Jesus, approachable, personable, compassionate, and full of joy. That's the truth that we put on full display and invite countless others to know for themselves. We know He'll do everything and more. Why? Because we believe it, leading us to do the impossible for His glory. God called me to go. He said, "Go ye," and I go. And sent people to link up in faith with the vision. That's you sending me to do the work. We are running further and faster than ever, infused with supernatural energy, shining the light of the gospel, seizing every divine opportunity. We're advancing and cutting through barriers to reach people right where they are. What shall I do for thee? Ask God for something unbelievable, something impossible. And you know what God will do? He'll walk off that throne and go get that thing for you.
Life-changing. I mean, Brother Jesse just always brings an amazing word.
There's such a connection when you come here.
This is our personal time just to get vision.
Visionary conference full of faith, full of hope.
Come expecting, because your expectancy will be increased.
Don't miss Jesse DePlanis 2025 Visionary Conference, July 10th and 11th at JDM International Headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana.
So if you want to know who you are in life, I'm going to tell you, you're a king and a priest. Jesus is the King of Kings. Well, who's the kings that He's king over? Us. Now, just by reading this today, we're empowered to prosper, because that's what blessed means, empowered to prosper.